You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, ring-tailed lemurs, orangutans, and the Javan slow loris are all facing extinction in the next 25 to 50 years, according to a new report. We'll find out what's behind that threat. First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. Yesterday, a spokeswoman from Attorney General Brad Schimel's office said that the state tested 9 of Wisconsin's 6,000 backlogged rape kits since they got a federal grant more than a year ago. Robert Menser joins us now to share the details of this and other top stories from the past week. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau, and he's with us every Friday at this time for our weekly news roundup. Rob, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
Well, Rob, Attorney General Brad Schimel's office received $4 million in grants from the federal government and New York prosecutors over a year ago to test Wisconsin's backlog of untested rape kits. Since then, we learned 9 kits have been tested. What happened?
Yes. So, indeed, the Department of Justice received that grant money in October of 2015, but this goes all the way back to October of 2014, I think it was October. Certainly in 2014, it was when our USA Today network first reported the existence of these 6,000 untested rape kits sitting in police storage. So these are kits that contain evidence taken by a nurse in the aftermath of a sexual assault, and the state has a whole bunch that are not tested. So as of October of 2016, when a follow-up report found that there had been little action on moving after following these receiving these grants, as of October of 2016, the Attorney General said that that there would be, the first results would come in the next few weeks. So now it is 2017, and we're up to 9. Now, to be quite fair, there are another 200 rape kits that are in the process of being tested. They get tested by a private lab, and a DOJ spokeswoman said the lab allows 200 kits to be sent per month. But I think anyone would have to say that after, we're, 2.5 years later, only having 9 results wouldn't be considered a encouraging result.
And there was some ambiguous communication that happened early on. It sounded like at first the spokeswoman was saying 300 kits had been tested, and then that number changed to 9.
Right, and I mean the tests take time, and I assume that's what is going on here. The DOJ was had some strong language in the response to one of our reporters, saying that it's not fair and irresponsible to claim that they haven't taken action on these kits. They have in fact initiated testing, but I mean I think it's worth considering. So even at the pace, let's say they can send 200 kits per month, even at that pace, it would still take 2.5 years for the state to process the full backlog that exists. And this, the fact that they only have 9 at this point would seem to indicate that, it's not as if you send 200 per month and then you get 200 back at the end of the month. It may take even longer than that. So it feels to me like it's a valid question. What is the reasonable timeline to complete these testing?
And what is the plan to test them going forward? Because I know part of this time after the grant was spent figuring out how to test them. So what is the plan?
So this is, to some extent, this is an unresolved question. So there are reasons why a kit might not be tested, and to understand what is going on here. It's not the case that there are 6,000 women whose cases haven't been tried, or all of these are in limbo. So, for instance, if a rapist pleads guilty or is sentenced, the kit may not be tested. If a rapist's defense is that he did have sex with the accuser, but it was says it was consensual sex, then the rape kit as evidence may not be seen as useful by the defense. And there are some cases where a rape survivor has actually asked the state not to complete the test. But the problem is we really don't know how many of these 6,000 kits fits into any one of these categories. There's an argument by advocates for victims that says that the state should test the entire backlog and use that information to try to identify serial rapists or help solve other cases, future cases. But it's just hard to get a sense of where, you know, how to classify these 6,000 kits.
We're talking with Rob Menser right now from USA Today Network Wisconsin, and we're getting caught up on the latest in-state news. And also this week, UW-Madison officials proposed that students who transfer from one of several two-year colleges to the UW's flagship campus that they get at least 1 year of free tuition if they're the first in their family to go to college. How would this proposal work?
Yeah, so this is an interesting proposal. It seems to be designed to serve a couple of different ends. On the basic level, free college tuition is a popular idea. I think the policy got a boost when it was a key part of a policy proposal in the campaign of Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders. That was a national campaign. That was a big, broad policy that was meant to apply very broadly. This is much narrower proposal, much more targeted idea. But I think it's broadly consistent with the idea of making higher education more accessible, and especially making it more accessible to those students for whom going to college might not be the easy or the kind of expected path, and so therefore targeted to first-generation undergrads.
And the university statement, it does say that this proposal depends on, quote, if UW-Madison receives sufficient new investment, end quote, in the next state budget. So what do you make of that statement?
Yes, this is sort of the other thing that this proposal is up to, right? I mean, one thing it does is it would create a plan that would address a real trend, which is a drop in the number of first-generation undergrad students at UW-Madison. That is really going on, and the Wisconsin idea and the mission there is it would be consistent to try to expand that number. But, there's politics, too, and I think that the UW-Madison Chancellor, Rebecca Blank, also understands that we're heading into a state budget cycle. In the last state budget cycle, the whole UW system overall took a $250 million cut, and so this is premised on the notion that the school would need to receive this sufficient new investment in the state budget. So if this is a popular policy, if people are interested in this or see this as a worthwhile policy on substantive grounds, then it would take money.
And Rob, just very briefly as we wrap up, Governor Walker has also said that if President Donald Trump and the administration is interested in going national with a version of Wisconsin's Act 10, that he would be there to help. Is this something that's in the works?
Yeah, it's a little hard to know if this is actually something that could happen or if this is just kind of a shiny object for the press. But it is true. Governor Scott Walker was in Washington. He says he spoke with Vice President Mike Pence during his visit to the White House on Friday about the possibility of sort of a national Act 10, something that might limit collective bargaining rights for public employees unions. Very hard to say, right? I mean, no, there's certainly no policy proposals released on this, but Walker did say that this was a conversation, so maybe it'll be something that catches the eye of the Trump administration.
We'll keep watching that one. Rob, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That was Rob Menser, storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He's with us every Friday for our state news roundup.